All right. So being that I'm the only doctor here still in training, I'm going to focus really on the role of academic medicine in training residents who are future physicians in the health needs of prisoners, both in prison and coming home. So I'm going to start by focusing on the mission of academic medicine, which some people have argued is really a three-pronged vision of clinical care, research, and teaching. But it's also been argued that you can really boil down the mission to a single mandate, which is the pursuit of health for all. So in that framework, thinking about who all is in America, I want to talk about the epidemic of incarceration. So we're currently in the midst of an epidemic of mass incarceration. So 10 to 12 million people cycle through U.S. prisons and jails annually, with 2.3 million currently incarcerated and another 5 million on probation or parole. So that averages out to 1 in 31 adults are now under some form of correctional control, which is really an unprecedented number. And there are huge racial disparities, with that rate being 1 in 11 amongst black men, with a lifetime risk of incarceration of 1 in 3. This is just a visual representation of that, so you can see that we just have these skyrocketing incarceration rates, and if you add up all forms of correctional control, that number is more than 7 million now. And again, you can see this is really a new phenomenon that's happened over the past 2 to 3 decades, and so that always raises the question of why, what's changed? And so really I would argue that there are two main factors leading to the current epidemic of incarceration, and that would be untreated mental illness and addiction. And around the same time in the 1970s, Nixon declared his famous war on drugs, and there was the deinstitutionalization of the mentally ill. And along with the war on drugs came mandatory minimum sentencing. So you can see here that around that time, drug arrests have just soared, mostly in the adult population. And so that sort of raises the question, now that we're incarcerating, a whole subset of the American population, what really are prisons for? This is actually obviously a very old cover of Time magazine, as you can see by Reagan up in the corner. So I would argue that incarceration offers an opportunity to diagnose, treat, and prevent disease, and most importantly, to provide linkage to care, which is what we're here to talk about today. So in terms of diagnosis, many prisons and jails now offer opt-out HIV screening, Hep C screening, and for many people, this is their first intersection with the public health system in general, an opportunity to get diagnosed for many different chronic diseases. There's opportunities for treatment, and the irony that is the United States, incarceration is one of the few times that people are mandated under a constitutional mandate health care, and so people have access to heart, interferon for hepatitis C, psych meds, antihypertensives, other medications for chronic disease, and that it's also an opportunity to provide education and risk reduction to prevent further disease, and I think most importantly to provide linkage to care. And so in terms of the burden of disease, there's been a lot written about the infectious diseases that we see within prisons. So a third of all Americans with hepatitis C and a quarter with HIV pass through corrections each year. And of the cases of active TB in America, 40% occur among prisoners. But in addition, now as we're seeing an aging general population and harsher sentencing practices, there's an increased prevalence of all chronic diseases. And most importantly, I think for this model, that 95% of prisoners will eventually be released, and that number is rising as the population of prisoners rises, and notably a third of those people reentering were serving drug charges in prison, and so the rates of addiction in this population are very high. And I think I can't emphasize enough this 13 times increased risk of death in the 2 weeks following release. This is a New England Journal article a few years ago looking at Washington State, but 13 times all-cause mortality increase in just the first 2 weeks. And so the argument for bringing academic medicine and correctional medicine together, so despite the fact that incarceration is a more prevalent condition than most of the diseases we learn about in medical school, only 14% of residency programs offer any sort of lecture on care for prisoners. In addition, surveys of residency program directors demonstrate across the board that people feel they offer inadequate addictions training. And as we think about trying to foster social responsiveness, compassion, interest in working with marginalized populations in the future amongst doctors and trainings, exposure to underserved really has been shown to change people's interests. So I would argue that this is a mutually beneficial partnership, that arguably prisoners are our most marginalized population in society, and that the incarceration epidemic really can be seen as a failure of the public health system in so much as we don't offer addictions and mental health treatment in the community and people are instead incarcerated. There's a huge burden of disease, in particular diseases that we don't always get enough exposure to in training, like addiction. And we can begin to address some of the racial discrepancies in health, notably 60% of prisoners are minorities. So what are we doing at Mass General? So in Boston, we are focusing on really two aspects. We have a two-week rotation within a prison where we aim to expose residents and give them some training in the unique health needs of prisoners, and also just to open people's eyes to the real size of the problem. And then on the outside, we now have a transitions clinic at one of our health centers that provides care for recently released prisoners. So I'm going to talk about each of those in a little bit more detail. So the elective is called an ambulatory subspecialty rotation, which is just our fancy term for an elective. So it's a two-week elective for all internal medicine residents. And it's at the Suffolk County House of Corrections. So Massachusetts is a little bit unique in that we have our state prisons. There's 13 facilities. We have jails, which are really holding facilities. And then we have this sort of hybrid House of Correction, which is a maximum sentence of 2.5 years. So shorter term sentences, a lot of turnover, a lot of charges related to addiction. It's a 7-building facility, about 2,000 inmates. Last time there was a census in 2000, and it's both men and women. And then in terms of the transitions clinic, this is within the Charlestown Health Center, which is one of the MGH-affiliated health centers. So Mass General Hospital has 3 community health centers. All are dedicated to serving the needs of that community in particular. And Charlestown's an interesting place in general, but also for this clinic, because it's a community that has really been devastated by opiate addiction. And so it has the highest rate of opiate addiction and overdose death in the city. And Mass General has given money and also commitment to helping to treat the opiate epidemic there with a Charlestown Substance Abuse Coalition, which is a coalition started by the community, which focuses on Narcan for overdose prevention, on outreach work, education, expedited treatment. So the health center has Suboxone and on-site addictions counseling. And so it actually works quite well in terms of embedding this post-release model within the clinic. So basically, we guarantee an appointment with a doctor within 2 weeks of release. We wish we could do it sooner, but we're trying to capture people during that really vulnerable time. At the same time, obviously, primary care doctors' schedules are quite booked. And so we have a designated resource specialist who discharge planners from either one of the 13 state facilities or the House of Correction, the Suffolk House of Correction, where the elective is, contact the resource specialist when they find an inmate from Charlestown who's going to be returning to Charlestown who's being released. And so they contact a resource specialist. We come up with an appointment, and the person leaves prison or the House of Correction with an appointment date in hand. And so in that first visit, we offer expedited mental health referral. We have, as I mentioned, on-site addictions counseling and Suboxone, as well as on-site Hep C treatment and an HIV clinic once a week. And then we also focus on the coordination of social service needs, which is often the most important component. And then, of course, medication refills and basic primary care. And so what are the challenges? I would say the biggest challenge so far in terms of referrals has really been working within the discharge planner model. And so this system relies entirely on discharge planners identifying people as being from Charlestown, taking the time to make that phone call and set up the appointment. And ideally, we would have the onus of getting that appointment or even having a familiar face that could go in and meet people before they're released. But right now, that's not the structure. So that's really been our main limitation. In addition, and this is true of all, I think, transitional care, the tremendous fragmentation of social service agencies is really hard to navigate. Of course, recidivism is an issue. I just tried to see one of my patients in follow-up and called his mom and was told he was, quote, away for a year. So that was going to be our second appointment, and so this is something that we commonly face, and I think really argues that the biggest thing we can probably do as physician is advocate for alternatives to incarceration. And then limited capacity. So the health center is really devoted to serving the needs of the community, and so as such feels that it can only offer services to people returning to Charlestown. And Charlestown's a small community and certainly not the largest represented community in terms of post-release. So our future goal is actually this month we're launching an attending medical student collaboration at one of the other health centers, MGH Chelsea Health Center. So that'll be attending Mass General physicians and then Harvard medical students who are seeing people in the evening hours and focusing mostly on post-release care as well as immigrant health. And so this will be a new model, and we will see how that goes. We're working on funding for dedicated community health worker, which I think is probably the most important thing that we could get and would help bridge some of that discharge planner reliance and really bridge that transition back to the community. And we're also looking at having psychiatry residents rotate within the clinic, which would help with expedited mental health referral, because as is true everywhere, it's incredibly hard to get people into mental health services. So that's it just for my acknowledgments, my co-panelists, the MGH Department of Medicine that has made it possible for me to do this, my mentors, Mark Eisenberg's at MGH, Jody Rich was my mentor in med school at Brown, and he's the founder of the Center for Prisoner Health and Human Rights with Scott Allen, Clement Song, who's in the audience here and is my co-founder of the clinic in Charlestown, the Substance Abuse Coalition, as I mentioned, has done really fantastic work in the community. Colleen Collins is the medical director at Suffolk House of Corrections and has been incredibly welcoming to the residents, all the discharge planners, and our resource specialist, who's been really fantastic. I guess maybe, should I leave? Maybe we'll talk. Anyone have any burning questions? Otherwise, we can leave it open for questions at the end. Yeah.
Just one. I know you do referrals to the mental health services, but do you have any kind of collaboration with them beyond that?
Well, we have mental health services in our clinic. So it's a wraparound health center. So we have mental health, we have pediatrics, we have OB, we have addiction services. The issue really is just